Oh, man, I always forget how chilly it gets when I do a cold open. But, man, probably should have worn a hat. Even gloves would have been nice, but... Anyway, before I freeze my beans up, welcome to Smart List.
Smart.
You guys, I mean, don't make me cry. It's been a month and a half.
I know, it's pretty wild.
I'm so happy to see you in your house in L.A. So cool. It makes me feel really good, and I know that we're going to see you later.
Yeah.
Later today.
Which is later today.
I'm going to put my mouth on both of you right away.
Hang on, okay? hang on.
One lip for each.
Just another Sunday.
Please stop. Please stop now. I urge you.
Wait a minute, Jason. I know you told us a little bit about your character, but is your character supposed to be clean at all?
Yeah, like, hang on. Tell us about your character.
This is the start of a typical interview. Tell us about your character. What is...
No, because like...
As a storyteller... Sorry, Sean, you're going to go, but...
No. Well, anyway, I don't really care. I mean, I care, but I mean, like, is he supposed to bathe?
No, and that's why I look like, you know, I mean, there's long hair and long beard, and it's not,
anxious to cut it all off, or are you like?
Yeah, and we haven't even gone into the teeth of summer yet. I'll be going through summer in New York City with this long hair and long beard.
How's that beard going to feel on 16-hour days in the summer in New York?
However bad it feels, it's going to smell even worse.
Yeah. Okay?
Have you been trimming it now because you've got it at a length that you like?
No, well, we had to trim it once just for continuity, so it doesn't, get too, but you know, I get, you know, people maybe be like, should we worry? Is there a hotline we can call into?
Well, Amanda has admitted to us a bunch of times, and even last, you know, to anybody who'll listen. And then last weekend at dinner, she was chewing somebody's ear off about, and then he just looks like somebody new and different. Yeah. I heard her, I forget who she was sitting next to.
Scotty, she's sitting next to Scotty.
No, I know. Well, it's just about different. Right? I mean, right. I look like somebody other than the person who's been sharing a bed with her for 25 years.
So
just, you know, she's just seeing flashing green lights all over the place.
I actually think it's handsome.
It is handsome.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, maybe trimmed with a little trim of the beard, but the hair is...
Yeah, you know who doesn't dig it? Maple, my 12-year-old. She'll barely look at me. Well, all she wants is Marty Bird back.
Sure.
Nice and short hair, you know, some kind of a banker look.
What about the sleeve? Does Marty roll his sleeves up ever? Because Michael Bluth rolled his sleeves up.
Well, he was always trying to get down to business. And you know, Will, I think about that every time, literally, that I turn up my sleeves. I hear you go, well, let's get down to business, sir. you know, you're not wrong.
But you're feeling good though. You're happy
I'm
to be
feeling
home.
Good. I'm very happy to be home. I cannot wait to see you guys tonight.
We can't wait.
This is the first time we've done one of these for 6 weeks.
I know. People don't realize we sometimes bank episodes, and we had to do that because you were directing. We were 2 months ahead.
Right. And
how are you feeling at the end of your directing? Did it go? Did everything kind of pretty much go?
It
where
went.
You wanted to?
It went even better than I'd hoped.
Great.
And that was because everybody came together so well, crew and the cast. And
yes, Amanda said it was going really great.
I can't wait for people to see it. Really, really proud of it.
And it's called Black Rabbit.
It's called Black Rabbit. For some odd reason, you know, Netflix, God bless them, they're not dissimilar from other companies in that, like right around when Star Wars started to get rekindled and Marvel started to go, and people really tried to like steal scripts online and like get a jump on things and like release spoilers and stuff. All studios went to a pseudonym for projects,
right?
Regardless of their, you know, budget. Scale like this ain't Star Wars, you know. Right. I mean, it's a great thing, but it's not.
Sean,
I'm out.
Yeah, I was directed at you.
So we had to come up with a pseudonym per Netflix, and I was so like, oh my god, this is not a Marvel thing. We don't need a pseudonym, and I was so like over it when I got the email, and my dog Gary was just laying on my lap, And so I said, let's call it Gary the Dog. So all over the show is called Gary the Dog if you're in New York, like all the
really
location
funny.
Signs and the call sheets and everything,
no.
so that no one figures out where Black Rabbit's shooting.
Well,
so they
now
can't
you have to
get
change
pictures.
The name.
No, it's
like it's a state secret.
You know, Ted, I'm sorry. He's going to call me and yell at me perhaps, but it's just, yeah, it's, I can't wait for my actual dog to show up on set and everyone will see.
You
like,
know what that,
oh,
you know what that
dog.
Reminds me of? It's, sorry, it just made me think when we, years ago, what is this? More than 15 years ago, we had finished shooting. It was about to be released, Blades of Glory, the ice skating movie.
Yeah.
Me and Farrell and Amy and everybody.
I love
yeah,
that movie.
Fun movie. Really
directed
fun.
Directed by the great Will Speck and Josh Gordon.
Our friends Will and Josh directed. And so I remember I was in a cab going downtown in New York on Broadway, just above Canal Street. And I was talking to Will on my cell phone. I guess it was probably pre-smartphone, talking to Will. And as I was talking to him, this woman comes up to the window of the cab and she's holding up bootleg copy. The movie hasn't been released yet. Bootleg copies of Blades of Glory. And I said, hey, Will, do you want me to grab you a copy of the movie? We hadn't even had the premiere yet.
And a $6 wow. Louis Vuitton bag. You were right there on Canal, right?
Remember piracy was like so super bad, like the
that's
physical
hysterical.
Piracy?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm good.
I do anyway. That. You know, I went to Allie Wentworth and George Stephanopoulos' house for dinner and I didn't have anything last minute. To bring as you know, as you do when you go to somebody's house for dinner.
Sure.
So classic. I stopped on the street and I bought Jason one of those $6 Prada bags. And for Allie, as like instead of like a bottle of wine or something.
It's so brilliant.
That's gonna be my thing now. I'm just gonna buy like 20 of them, bank, you know, have them in my closet. And if I don't have anything, I'm just gonna bring people like pink Prada bags that just cost $6.
By the way, now you got customs on your ass. They're like
yeah.
That's a great idea.
Guys, let's get to our guest. She's been so kindly waiting.
Yep.
She's a true Los Angeles native, but counterintuitively, showbiz wasn't always her career path.
What?
She graduated from Vassar with a degree in psychobiology.
What a beautiful campus.
And yeah, then went so to work nice. For her dad, a headache specialist.
Huh?
But one thing led to another, as it so often does in Tinseltown, and she ended up at the Groundlings, bit by the comedy bug. She's fluent in French, married to a Frenchman, and I'm guessing loves French
Lisa.
Fries. All three of us would consider this person a friend,
Lisa.
But in the rest of the world, she's one of six friends. It's Lisa Kudrow.
It's Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa.
Yeah. Woo! Oh, with a gorgeous filter on.
As soon as you said married to a Frenchman, I knew it was Lisa.
Yeah.
Michelle Stone.
Michelle
Stone.
Oui. But I'm not fluent in French.
Oh, you aren't?
No.
All right, I made that
what
up.
What about French Canadian?
Yes.
Yeah.
But you must speak. You must speak a little bit of it because your husband.
Yeah, I do. I speak a little of it because my husband.
So yeah. is that on purpose? You didn't want to learn.
You just repeated everything.
I know that's
so good. Your mirror work is phenomenal, by the way.
Did you not learn the whole language so that you could tune him out when he's really going at you with some stuff?
No, he speaks so fast. I couldn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And oh, I did take it in high school. I took 4 years too. Of
And you know Will speaks French. It fluently. Right?
Well, you know, I've spoken French with Michelle many times, but he won't slow it down for you. So if you don't keep up, then he'll just flip to English because he's like, I'm not going to waste my time.
Right.
So, yeah,
I
right?
know.
Yeah.
Very Parisian.
Lisa, why do you look so pretty today? Not that you don't always do, but
do you
like.
Have a callback today?
Yes. I thought this was it. So, this was an audition, and so
because you know we're not
up.
Like filming this.
No, but you look
gorgeous.
Great. Your lighting
no,
is
know.
Good. Your lighting is good, and I love that you have enough self respect to like blur out your background because you don't like Sean wants us all to look at his Canon printer.
You're and his like little baby Yoda that's hard to get.
But you're like I'm gonna be front and center. You look great. Your lighting looks great. You look phenomenal.
Totally
no, but because it's mayhem. Here.
Is it?
It looks like it could be a nice looking bookshelf back there. Maybe even better than Sean's.
Yeah, it is. I'm actually trying to unblur it so you can see.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, there it is.
There it is.
Well, what is that?
It's a little blurry.
But you know what? That looks really nice like that.
It's a shallow depth of field.
Because at least you can kind of see this. Okay.
Go ahead.
I was going to just get right to, can you help my daughter get into Vassar? You know, because we toured that campus. And
is she interested,
God,
Jason?
It's I don't know if she is, but I like, it looks like Hogwarts. I mean, it's so beautiful there.
It's really beautiful. A lot of people end up at Vassar just from the tour.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
And then they're disappointed they didn't go to Yale. But yeah, it's really beautiful.
It's so, yeah, it's
was
so
college
beautiful.
A good experience for you?
I loved it.
Yeah,
with all my heart.
I did.
Now, were you an academic, or were you just sort of doing your school so that you could party?
No, she said yeah.
No, I wanted to say yeah to the party.
You kept talking. You didn't listen. She answered.
I like to drive people into the answer I want.
Right. Well,
you've forgotten. It's been a while.
Yeah.
I was a biology major, so there was no choice but to be academic, because that's a big commitment.
So what was the impetus for that? So you come out of high school, you're kicking ass in science and math, and you're like,
I thought I'll be pre-med. My dad's a doctor. My brother is starting medical school. And I thought, I'll be a doctor too.
And was that interesting to you?
Well, biology was really interesting to me.
Mm. Yeah.
I loved it. Biology. I mean, it's such a huge...
what kind of doctor do you think you would have been?
I don't know. I wasn't set on that. But halfway through, I went, oh, no, there's no way I'm going to be a practicing physician. There's no way. So
because
I realized I wasn't as interested in that as I was in, I liked evolutionary biology. So I was just going to continue and do.
Will's big on creation biology. Go ahead, Will.
Yeah. But
I went, remember the Paula Abdul song, Vibology?
No, we don't.
No, nobody does.
I used to pretend I was going to Vibology.
I mean, no offense to her, but nobody does. Yeah. But wait, so Lisa, so your dad was a, Sean, did you say that? Did he say it right? Your dad was specialized in headaches?
Yeah. So
what's that? Talk to us a little bit about that.
And I work
because I got two headaches. I got two headaches on the line with me every day. Okay, how do you get rid of them? Maybe you can help me get rid of them.
It's called recasting.
Okay.
Well, he got a lot of headaches, and he was, like a family practice or internist, and then decided he would switch to just treating, researching headache.
Wow.
So was it migraines or just the common headache?
At the time, from what I remember, because I worked for him.
Right.
From college till friends, basically.
Like in the summers or full-time?
No, full-time. After
wow, college. Really?
That was my day job, which was really lucky.
Where was that?
In Encino.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, go on.
And at the time, there's 9 different headache types at
Let's
that
have
time.
Them.
So I don't know. Well, I don't know.
We got migraine. Are there different subsets of
migraine?
Migraines?
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. Hemiplegic, ophthalmic, classical. Yeah.
And do you know how to treat, like, can you, like, you and I know your son and, like, the second you feel something going on, you must know all about them to know what to do with them, right?
No. Where people
are, all right, great.
I mean, a little, but there's a lot of new medications. And my brother's a headache specialist. He's a neurologist who took over when my dad retired.
Be honest, is he in bed with the folks over at Bayer?
In bed with.
But I am... While we're pulled over here for a second, I am... I mean, is a headache... I mean, it's mostly just like a blood flow problem, correct? Or no?
I'm not entirely sure, but I mean,
you were answering the phone. Is that what you were doing there?
Tylenol? I mean, this sounds like a pretty shady operation.
I kind of knew a lot about cluster headache. That was this subset of
headaches.
That's
when you're around too many people?
It's not a migraine. Mm. What?
Is that when you're around too many people?
No.
And is the classical headache from
listening to... No, but that's a good guess.
Yeah, thank you.
No, it's not.
You know, I'm just about making people feel good.
Yeah. Sure. And by the way,
that's what I'm about.
Which leads me to, you told me before, we were hanging out at another friend's house.
Huh?
And you told me, I was asking about your family growing up, and you were like, I was the least funny in the house.
Yeah.
And I was like, what, as a kid?
Yeah.
And you said, and I always found that hard to believe, so... Were you interested in comedy at all? Like, when did you, what tickled you?
Oh, well, I'm the youngest, in the family. So that's always like the least competent person in
Same.
The house.
Yeah.
You get away with a lot. Though.
How many siblings?
I have 2.
Okay.
And they're older and really funny. And my dad is really funny and he's 91 and he still is.
Yeah.
And so, I just would repeat what they said, bring it back to school, and sometimes get in trouble because it's like 6 and 8 years older than what was appropriate for kindergarten or first grade. But junior high, I did play production where we wrote sketches and performed them. And that was huge for me. That was a very big deal.
Was Saturday Night Live consequently like one of your favorite shows?
Yeah, I did. I loved it. I did love it.
Yeah, same. I used to watch it.
Gilda Radner.
Was that a goal?
Oh, no way. You too, Sean? No way.
What? Yeah.
What a weird coincidence. Sorry, Lisa.
I know.
Oh, you liked Saturday Night Live? Fucking breaking news. Jesus Christ.
Here's what's special about me. I loved Saturday Night Live.
I loved the Beatles. Oh, yeah, I loved it too. Yeah. They were really good.
What about Oxygen?
I breathe Oxygen.
So was it Groundlings? Was it? Did you want to go there as maybe a path to potentially become a cast member?
No, Groundlings. That was after college, and that really wasn't about. My goal was not Saturday Night Live, but my goal was to avoid a dramatic acting class at all costs.
Right.
Because from what I understood, they seemed like cults, and it was just people taking everything way too seriously.
Yeah, I was in one once, and it was like that. Yeah, it was like people used it as an excuse to not move on in life.
Or therapy.
Ooh.
Or therapy, yeah.
Ooh.
Whereas the world beaters in the comedy class.
Well, that was the huge revelation.
Yeah.
Was, ooh, the comedy folk are way off. Like, there's something really wrong. Yeah.
Well, also, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You get to laugh and have fun all the time. See, yeah. That's a little, let you know, a little secret. That feels good.
Instead of trying to make people cry.
I know, but let me ask you something. Okay. Of all the stand-ups, who is more serious than a stand-up?
Right. That's so true.
Exactly. About their stand-up
work. Wait, who would you say is funnier in person than on stage, and they're great on stage?
Marty Short is the funniest.
Marty Short, Zach Galifianakis?
Zach Galifianakis is a stand-up. He's the funniest person in person, which is hard to believe because he's so funny on stage and in stuff.
He is Will Ferrell?
Farrell's
done a stand-up. He never did stand-up, right?
Conan. Incredibly funny.
Uh-huh.
We'll be right back.
Having said all that, who? What I wanted to know, Lisa, who is in your class?
Wasn't Conan?
Like, what was
Conan?
So Conan was.
I would have quit if
that must have been exhausting. Sorry. I thought you were going to go the other way. He wanted to make you quit.
We'll cut that one, Will.
Yeah, you were real. Tell us about that at the Groundlings because
it was nuts. Well, I couldn't take Groundling classes because they wouldn't let me because I hadn't had enough experience with anything. So they sent me to Cynthia Seghetti, an improv teacher at the Coronet, which is now, God damn it.
Largo.
You know that,
Largo.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Largo, yeah.
And I went to the first class and thought, oh, no, these are not my people and I can't do this. I commit. I don't know what that means. And they're all embarrassing me with their, like, you know, space ball, like, with an emotional adjustment, like, grrr. And I went, I can't do this. I think I'm out.
It's too
of
serious.
Acting forever.
Yes.
And then the next week, I said, all right, just go. You committed to this, just go. And I was a little late, and everyone was up there. It's like, no, I don't want to break the flow. I'll just sit here and watch and die. And they were lifting a disc or something. And
An imaginary disc.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Space work. Mime, actually. And so one of them was doing it. And it was Conan, this tall, really tall redhead guy, is lifting the disc. And when he's angry, he's just kind of angry. And he's just really lifting a disc or throwing the space ball without too much. And the teacher, Cynthia, was saying, good commitment. And I went, oh, that's commitment. It's not embarrassing. You're just really doing it.
That is cool.
And I thought, okay, that guy. So I made sure, I made a beeline to him, said, hi, I'm Lisa. That was really good. And he said, I'm Conan. And we became best friends.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
Is it
true that Conan gives you credit for him taking over Letterman?
Not credit, no. But
a little push.
Kind of. I mean, because he was asked to produce that show. Lorne Michaels asked Conan to be the producer. So they were looking for someone to be the host. And Conan would say, I want someone smart but funny, but who can have a conversation with writers, you know, authors and politicians. And I said, well, that's you. So you should do it. because nobody replaces David Letterman. You're nobody.
Yeah,
right.
You know, so it's kind of the only.
And at this point, he was he the head writer on Saturday Night Live?
No, he was at The Simpsons.
Oh, that's right, The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Oh, had he been at Saturday Night Live or not yet there?
Oh no, he had already been. That's how Lorne Michaels knew him.
Okay,
that's wild. And you guys have been close ever since. That's so cool. And then you actually went back to the Groundlings to teach, right? So then you became Cynthia.
No, while you're at the Groundlings, you can teach, and I taught Cheryl Hines was in my class. Some other people too, and I don't remember. I voted Will Ferrell into the Groundlings.
Maybe. Wow, nice. That's so cool.
Nice vote.
Not me alone, but yeah.
Well, but you might want to do a lap on that one though.
Sure.
Yeah, I'd do a lap.
An David
Spade.
Vote.
David Spade, sorry, just had another comedian who's very funny off.
Yeah.
Lisa, have you ever done stand up?
No. Well, no.
Would you?
Would you?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want to write jokes.
Yeah. But what about if somebody wrote them for you? What about being a host of a late night show? But what about like let's say like the monologue that the Jimmys do, or you know, like would you do that? Would you be comfortable with that?
No.
No.
Could you do late night?
No.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like be a host,
be on, be a guest.
Yeah, would you host a late night talk show?
What do you mean? What do
I mean? You know what I mean? Now you're being confrontational.
See, I think that'd be such a great
job. You listen to me. No,
Now, Sean, you've done, and Will, you've done, you've guest hosted Kimmel Show.
Yeah.
So you've done.
Oh wow.
You've done monologues up front there.
Yeah.
What is that, a comfortable thing?
I like it.
Yeah,
me too.
I would be really interested in trying.
No, but it's not just the monologues, because then you have to interview people, which you all three know how to do.
And that can be death.
But yeah, I don't think
hard.
I could do that.
Look how fucking shitty we are at it.
Yeah, but we get to like, it's cut three ways. You know, if it was just me interviewing somebody, I would, you'd answer a question and I'd just be nodding at you and going, huh. Uh-huh. That's great. I would not have my next question ready.
That's the
right
part
of the
job.
That's my fear, too. That's what I
know. No, but even if somebody gives you the question, no, it would be hard to give the impression that I'm interested.
Right. But you know, I'll bet I would love to watch the talk show. And Letterman was kind of good at this too, although he was a decent fellow about it, but he'd still let you see in just a little bit that he's not feeling this guest. This guest is not hitting the ball back like they should. Like they're acting like they're doing us a favor by being on the show. And like I used to like that. I used to like to try to read him. And and 9 times out of 10, the guest kind of deserved it. They were kind of being jerks, and he wasn't helping them, and he kind of let them sink. I think you'd be good at that, Willie.
I don't know. I'm just looking at Lisa and I'm remembering. Lisa, have I ever told you this? I'm remembering the first time we ever met.
Sean and I.
We've gone on to work together. Lisa and I did BoJack Horseman together. We've done some stuff, and right. And
great show, my God,
really great. And
best show.
You were so great on it. And but the first time we met, it was like the first year of Arrested Development. And somehow we were at the Beverly Hills Hotel. There was something going on. You were meeting somebody for lunch, and you were do you remember this?
No.
You probably don't.
I know.
You probably
don't. Told me this.
I think I told you this. And you were still on, Friends was still like maybe in its last year.
Okay.
And I was such a huge fan, as you know, and because I've bored you with it at least so many times, such a huge fan of The Comeback. I mean, I just freaking loved it. What a genius, underappreciated show. You were so brilliant in it. And our good friend Mike Schur was on the staff. And just an amazing, amazing, amazing show. For me, it was a mind blower. And so I just said hi to you, and we sort of said hi, and I made some stupid joke, and you go, oh, you are kind of like your character on that show. And I walked to my car, and I was like, fucking what?
I was being funny.
I know.
I was trying to be funny.
It really hurt my feelings that I drove, and I crashed
so
my
car. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I know. You told me, and I said then, I'm saying it now. I'm sorry. Wait,
did you literally get an accident?
You got an accident?
No, I didn't get it. I didn't get an accident. But I was like, I really, because she was like a big star. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah, still is. At least.
But I felt like a ding dong. Anyway.
Tell my sister Tracy, who's listening from Wisconsin, about, because I know I still love this.
By the way, I'm sorry, Tracy, I've been gone for a month and a half. I just got home to that really sweet, Wisconsin Badger golf shirt you sent.
We already talked about it.
No, Jason didn't.
But I had not opened it yet. I was still in New York. And, you know, Tracy, I don't like it. No.
Oh, fuck. I thought you were going the other way. Shit.
Well, curveball.
No, I love it. I love it. Yeah. I love it. And thank you, thank you, thank you.
That's okay. Very sweet. But at least for my sister who may not know this story, I always find it so interesting. And a lot of people do know, but if you wouldn't mind, first of all, I want to go, Scotty and I watch episodes of Cheers a lot. Like, we'll take like 10 years off and then we'll watch Cheers again.
Yeah.
And I'm always blown away.
Crazy.
When you pop on there, I was like, oh my God, is that one of your first jobs on Cheers or was that the first job?
That was the first guest starring job on television.
With Woody Harrelson. It's so cool. You were so great on that.
Taft Hartlead.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And you met Jimmy Burrows for the first time there.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of, that's where I was going. So then Frasier, right? Or Mad About You then? What was next?
Frasier. Well, not next after I did other guest star. Apparently I was on Coach like 3 times.
Apparently.
As IMDb made a mistake.
Do you not remember that experience?
That's right.
Wow.
And recently I worked with Linda Lavin and she said, you were on a pilot. That I did. The casting director reminded me.
And you forgot about it.
Nothing. It's like those Jennifer, like the Uber Eats commercials where you purge stuff so that you have room for other
things. Yeah.
Right.
So when you were Ursula on Mad About You.
And that I do remember.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and that's the thing that caught what? Jimmy Burrow's attention, the network's attention, or what?
No. David Crane's boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Partner is Jeffrey Klarik, and Jeffrey was a writer for Mad About You at the time. So when they were casting Friends, Jeffrey said, what about the Lisa who's playing Ursula? That might be a good Phoebe.
Wow.
Right. But you filmed the part of Roz for Frasier before that?
Yeah. I didn't film it. I got fired before that.
Oh, let's hear it.
You got fired from Frasier?
Frasier.
Isn't that interesting, though?
Is it because you put hands on Kelsey or David or you're just running
the dog? You know me so well. Oh, my God.
You had an issue with
the dog. Is it put hands on, like, wringing necks or put hands on cupping
something? No. It's striking somebody or shaking somebody vigorously.
Well, you know how violent I am.
Isn't it wild how just everything works out? Like, you don't get that, so you get that. And then, it's just
always. I know. And it was devastating to get fired, but
of course. So when you went in for the part of Phoebe on Friends.
Yeah.
You knew Jimmy already. Jimmy Burrows, for those who don't know, directed the pilot and a bunch of the first season of Friends, the great Jimmy Burrows, whom we all adore.
Yeah.
So when you went to audition for that, he was already very familiar with you and loved you, evidently.
Well, he was familiar enough that, I got fired from the last thing. by the way, do you know when we shot the reunion for Friends? Or was it there or something else, like a Jim Burrows celebration?
Yeah.
Where I learned I was the only cast member for Friends that had to audition for Jimmy Burrows.
Really?
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Why is that?
Because I had just gotten fired from Frasier.
Wow.
And he was directing
it. Jimmy had been an instrumental in your firing from Frasier.
I don't know.
He probably could have fought it.
It sounds like it. I mean, it's less.
So he felt bad. He probably didn't want to cast you in Friends, was like, listen, I already fired this kid once. Give her this job.
No, he's not like that.
You know what?
He's smarter than that. No, but when I had my audition, I did
Let's pull him into this call.
Yeah.
Okay, call him.
Can you just hold
up
1 second?
No, when you went to your audition?
When I auditioned, it's just this small room. He's sitting at a desk. I'm in a chair. And the audition was like a little monologue thing.
Where was it? Do you remember?
At Warner Brothers.
Okay.
And when I'm done, he just went, no notes.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I... And I thought, right.
But so that's good.
I don't know what that means.
That's
like, it's hopeless or it's perfect.
Do you remember? So you do that. That's probably in the spring of like 94, maybe 93, something
Here
like
she
that.
Comes,
right.
Mrs. Mary
of Friends, where you do the pilot.
94.
Right. So I was right the first time. So you do the, I know.
I don't know.
You do the pilot, you shoot the pilot. And do you remember the different, like, Do you have a moment like a year later or 6 months later where you're like, holy shit, my life has changed so quickly?
No.
No, you don't?
No. It wasn't like that. It was Mad About You that changed a lot for me because I had been fired from Frasier and then I did a guest star on Mad About You. They had me back. I'd already done a guest star the first season. So now I'm there for a different character. And my agents had said, you're not doing this. They called like in the morning. Can she just come in an hour? Mm. The character is called Waitress. There's no name. And my agents at the time were saying, no, you can't. It doesn't even have a name. Don't do this. I said, I'm not in a position to say no. And it's to me the best show. And I'm doing it. Uh-huh. And by the end of the week, Danny Jacobson said, you're so funny. Would you be okay doing 5 more episodes? I just went, yes.
Oh, thank God you did that.
There's my rent for the year. I don't have to get another day job.
Yeah. But then your dad's scrambling to find somebody to hand out the Tylenol. I mean, you kind of screwed your dad over a little bit. Luckily,
Ronnie. Lisa, what can you say or can you remember? Do you know why you were fired from Frasier?
I don't. It just wasn't working.
Yeah.
I don't
so that
know.
Was so you were like midweek. You were like through the producer run through the network run through or something, and then
but
they
during
made a switch?
The run throughs because Jimmy was saying like this isn't working, so just don't even.
Right.
They have to fix it.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Because I was trying to, like, what's not working? What can I do? Oh. But I think they did make a casting mistake with me because I went to the network with Perry Gilpin.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Who got the part?
Yes. And so I think they were just correcting a mistake.
Got it.
Because Perry should have always been Roz. You know.
Right. Yeah, it's such a funny. You guys, well, we've talked about it a little bit, but you've been fired from a role that you just weren't right for before, have you? I have. I mean, certainly.
I got fired and then rehired.
Or the stuff that you don't get, and then you end up being available for the thing that you really, I mean, like, you know, that classic story of you and Rain on Arrested Development.
Well, first of all, no, the year before I got fired off that pilot, that it was the show became Still Standing, and when it went to got picked up for a series, and I didn't get picked up. But it would never felt right. And had I not been fired, at the time I was like, fuck, what a great job. Had I not been fired, I wouldn't have been available for Arrested Development.
Yeah.
And it was the same casting director, Deb Brielski, whom I adore.
But can I ask you guys something when you are fired from something?
Yeah.
I mean, I know for me, there's that moment of, wow, maybe this just isn't supposed to work out, this career choice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, all the time.
Oh, you did have that when...
I have it every day. Still.
Oh. Yeah, it's not working out.
You know what, Lisa? I did. So like, sorry. My thing was like, I ended up getting fired, and I said, I was kind of like, fuck them. And I was living in New York at the time. Amy was doing SNL, and I was like, a couple summers before, I happened to do a reading at New York Stage and Film, one of those reading things at Vassar.
Powerhouse.
So you're there for like a week, and you're kind of workshopping a new play. And I met this playwright and this director, and he ended up calling me and saying, I'm going to do this play with the new group off Broadway. And so I was like, I'm just going to stay in New York and do theater and fuck TV. That was my thing, was like, they're not firing me. I'm firing them. I'm firing the whole TV business. Like they cared.
Yeah. And, right. That'll show them.
But
yeah.
That kind of made me get my head around it, feel better about myself. That's how I dealt with it. Yeah.
But you're right, Lisa. It's so, all you need is just one firing, and you think, maybe I just don't, because it's so thin what we do. It's not backed up by credentials and diplomas and 4 years of finishing school and all of that stuff. It's just, it's so sort of
random.
Subjective,
right.
You know?
And also, Lisa, think about it. Similarly to you, within a year, my life changed after that moment where I thought it was all done.
Yeah.
My life changed forever. It's the same for you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I mean, but that's what's important to me, like for younger artists who definitely have talent. And yes, you can be discouraged, but then you've got to pull yourself back up. Like, you know, that can't be your mindset for too long. Otherwise, it won't work out. It's just not going to work
out. It'll win. Yeah. That mindset will win.
We'll be right back.
Lisa, let me ask you this on this subject, because I was just talking about it, because sometimes, I'm sure you guys have had it too, like, you know, my parents will be like, so-and-so's grandnephew wants to be an actor. Will you talk to him? And I always think, like, I want to be generous, but also, and I was just talking about it 2 hours ago, and of What would I say? What would you do if you were 20 years old today, starting over again? It's such a different world from when we all started.
Yeah.
Certainly the show business is so much different because of social media, et cetera. What would you say to somebody who is trying to do what you're doing? To a 20-year-old you today, what would
you
say?
So different now.
Well, is it that different in a – I think it's different in a good way, though. Because what I had always said was – say yes to everything except porn. Mm-hmm. That was my advice.
Sean, yeah.
Darn it.
Well,
keep going.
But it worked out anyway for you. Yeah. And that's a joke, everybody listening. No, still say no to porn, I think. I mean, I guess it depends on your level of comfort.
Yeah, and what you think porn
Everything's
is.
Okay now. That's another issue. But that was it. It was just say yes to everything. You have no idea who's going to see it. You have no idea what it's going to lead to, what you're going to learn from doing it. And now everyone has a camera and can post it on something.
Yeah.
So, the tough part, I think, for me, it would be like I would say to somebody, and these are unrealistic sort of parameters, is that, like, yeah, go do it if you don't need it in order to make a living. And also if you don't need to be hired to find validation about your talent. Like, those are two really hard things to, like, my confidence was always tied to being chosen, to being employed. You know, like, if I didn't get the job, I can't feel good about myself. Once I got the job, I was fucking perfect. I was just bulletproof. And then inevitably the job is over, and that's tantamount to being fired, and you got to go find another job. And until I got that job, I couldn't feel good about myself. And so my self-esteem was always tied to employment, and employment is not in your control. So therefore the way you feel about yourself is not in your control. And that was a real tough thing for me. And then also, you know, if it's your only way to make a living, it's really stressful.
It is.
You know?
Yeah, I agree, and I think that you're right. And we've talked about this before again, which is I've never believed. I think it's really dangerous to tie your self-worth into what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right. But at the same time, JB, think about it. Your perspective is different because you grew up working your whole life since you were a kid. Sean and I came into it later from other parts of the world. You grew up in Los Angeles, Lisa, but again, you came from a different world, kind of a whole different world.
Yeah. And I was being employed at a time when I didn't really care about being employed. And then when it became important to be employed, things had sort of dried out for me. And so I needed to make money, and I also needed to feel good about myself. And it was just tough. And, you know, it forced me to do some of the work that people should do earlier, which is, you know, get a good base of self-esteem and self-worth before you enter the workforce.
Right. That's hard to do, period. I mean, that's sort of like the whole lifelong commitment.
Exactly. Know, right? That's the journey right there.
I have something to say about friends still.
Okay. Okay.
Just one
Sorry,
thing.
Sorry, we got a caller here. Go ahead.
Yes, we were all friends. Yeah. Was that it? Okay.
What are your thoughts about the ebb and flow of the show? Because I remember when I moved to LA, Friends was obviously massive. I moved in 95 and it was huge. And then there was a hibernation period after it was over, and then Netflix took over, and there was this resurgence of popularity. Not that it ever went away, but it just came back this massive, almost as big as when it first started.
Right.
And what was that like? Did you feel that change again? Or were you just like, I'm still here. It doesn't affect me.
Yeah, but it was always on in syndication, so.
Right.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. But even in syndication, it didn't seem like it made as big of an impact as it did when it moved to Netflix.
Right, yeah? That's what I heard.
Speaking more to the phenomenon of Netflix than anything else, but it was so popular, and it's undeniable, right? So, like, we're just sort of stating the obvious. It was so incredibly popular, and still is, but so popular, and also so internationally popular. It was so big. It was able to do a thing that very few American shows did, which was sort of transcend sort of language and all sorts of things. I mean, every one of my adult friends in the UK are massive fans of Friends in a way that's really
everybody I know.
It's true. Yeah.
But Lisa, you went on to. You're one of the few who, you know, had such an iconic character on a television show, and then you achieved what seems like from the outside the impossible, and parlayed that into and broke out of Phoebe, which a lot of people can't do.
Oh, you think
did
I
it.
Did?
You did. Oh, Romeo yeah. Michelle's Romeo Michelle's high school reunion, Opposite of Sex. I analyzed this. You were so fucking great. Analyzed this, and then
comeback.
You did the comeback. So that's what I was getting to because I'm a massive, massive fan of that show.
Thanks.
I've seen every episode. I love it so much.
So much.
Valerie Cherish is one of the funniest characters I've ever seen in my whole life.
Thanks.
Truly. And then I was on it, so thank you. Woo-hoo. And then, but talk to me about that character and how you came up with it. Is it based on a real person? And if you haven't seen the comeback, see the comeback. It's so
incredible.
Thanks. I know. I'm the most proud of the comeback.
Yeah, you should be. It's so great.
The most.
But how did you come up with that character?
Well, I mean, it's a composite of people, honestly. I'm not trying to, you know, be coy. Mm-hmm. But it just was a composite of a lot of different people that, you know, you'd see on talk shows. I had a character at the Groundlings called, you know, your favorite actress on a talk show. And
that's funny. That's funny. And is that a little bit of Valerie Cherish?
Well, it was. I mean, because it was way before Valerie Cherish.
Can we speak to Valerie Cherish? No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, you can. Huh?
Welcome to Smartless.
This is nice. Thanks.
Oh, my God. You actually did it. You actually did it. I was being coy. All right.
Valerie, are you comfortable being on a podcast at all? Or?
If it's being broadcast, I'm comfortable.
It's so funny. Wait, okay, so it's a little bit of that grounding.
She says everything like it's a sitcom.
Right.
That's a line.
It's so,
like a tag.
It's
everything
so
she says is a tag or a button. Wait, what?
Yeah, a button. Yeah.
A button. Yeah,
it's so good.
A blow.
It's so funny. Are you going to do more of them?
God, I would love to.
Well, why can't it be Curb Your Enthusiasm? You're just doing a season whenever you want.
Yeah. Well, because Larry David can call up HBO and say, all right, I want to do more.
Yeah, but
okay.
The comeback is huge. The comeback was huge.
Well, yeah, we'll see. Michael Patrick King is busy with, and just like that, you know.
That's
What is your level of effort and interest in creating new shows, new characters? You know, where does all that sit with you right now? Where do most of your interests lie?
That's such a good question. I mean, I've spent the last few years being really interested in not producing and just acting and being cast.
Yeah.
And so I've done that. It's just none of it has come out yet. Okay. But it will all this year.
Is the producing boring? Is it boring?
No, it's not that it's boring. I mean, for me, it just felt, it's a lot of work.
It's laborious for very little payoff, yeah.
Yeah, I got tired of making the other people money, and big money that way.
Right, so there's that, but then also, it just felt so fraught.
Yeah.
You know, also just with like HR issues and things like that. So I just wanted, I'm not producing.
Yeah, because as an actor, everything's done basically, and then you get cast, and then you're just a few weeks away from actual shooting. You even skip all the pre-production and all that stuff, not to mention all the development and the pitching and the budgeting and all of that. It's just like so many different points of the process it can go wrong, and you can be frustrated.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, I produced a show, Who Do You Think You Are, which is not scripted. It's a,
I was on
you know,
it.
Yes. Oh my God.
So
that was
good.
Such a good
episode.
I mean,
it was so fascinating.
Yeah. And I loved doing that. I mean, I loved the research stage, you know.
Wow.
The editing and like how you're going to lay out the story for the person to discover and where the documents are found and, you know, that stuff. I loved doing that show, producing that.
That's great.
And that's it. But I mean, everything else is like, wow.
And that's it. Wait,
I don't know. But the comeback, yes. I mean, because I write the comeback with Michael. So
I just love it.
It's so good. So wait, really quick. I have something else to talk. I want to talk about Time Bandits because I loved that movie as a kid, and now you're in the series Time Bandits.
Oh, you did. You loved that.
I loved it. I've seen it too. I've seen
it
a ton of times. Yeah.
I loved it.
I liked it too. I saw it in the theater too.
What can you tell me a little bit? Taika Waititi, right? He's directing or wrote it or both or
both? Taika and Jemaine Clement.
What about Ian Morris?
And Ian Morris, yes, fantastic. But when I first learned about it, it was just Taika and Jemaine wrote the pilot, and
such a good idea.
And I went, well, I don't care. Yes, Do I need to read it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And with those kind it's of in New Zealand. I've always wanted to see New Zealand.
Right.
So,
they still have the Hobbitville there from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, not where we were shooting.
That's not where you're shooting. Okay.
And right. I didn't
but
see
it would
that.
Work well.
Because I was busy working.
All right, fine.
So I didn't so, see much.
Somebody's got a future in locations. Okay.
So this is a series that you've shot that's yet to come out?
It's coming out July, I think, 26th.
Nice.
On Apple.
That's so exciting. I can't wait to see it.
Oh, that's cool.
I know. I'm trying right now with this system to watch. You know this Pix thing and they send you?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Yeah,
you
I can.
Can sure. Try yeah. to watch things on it.
Daily
it's really hard.
It's very difficult.
Tell me about a really crazy groundling theater story, like something that went wrong or awry.
Oh, God.
Fucking Sean.
I love it. Because I used to do a show at the Groundlings.
You did?
With my friend Darlene Hunt. And
she is Darlene.
She's Darlene Hunt. And it was it was called no, it was called
sorry. And then something went wrong, Shawnee?
name of the show doesn't really matter.
As soon as you wrap this up, we'll get to the answer.
Platonically Lisa? Incorrect.
Okay.
Oh man, thank God we.
And then what happened?
Oh, that's good.
That's a good title, right? It was really good.
Proud of the title.
No, I just had to wear false teeth, and they popped
what?
Out a couple times. No,
fuck.
No, but I didn't know if you had anything because we all know we all have the same friends from the Groundlings. We all know a lot of the same people. Tim Bagley.
It's the stuff that happened backstage.
That's what I'm saying. That's
bad,
the best part.
You know, I have a lot of those because I. I'm always working on my filter with people because to me, facts don't hurt, you know?
Yeah,
so, you know, like letting someone know like, oh, I don't know about that sketch. It's more of like a ditty than a sketch. I mean, you just sort of,
right.
like it feels like right. it belongs on a cruise ship.
So this is a recurring theme. So when you go like, oh, you're just like your character, like that's just something you're just, your filter.
Well, no, but here.
Well, I know I do that. So sometimes that's my joke too. Do you know what I mean? Then I'm being the person with no filter.
How about just you're not full of shit? And I think that's great.
Thanks,
like, well,
Jason.
Don't change that. I mean, you know, you're not hurting people's feelings, right?
Right.
You've got a filter that keeps you from really chopping somebody's legs off. I mean, you know. Will's, you know, you got to amp it up just a little bit to get to him.
It.
Yeah.
But
that, I guess, was rough. And I didn't think it was rough to say it's just a song. But we were all being asked, what do you think of this piece? So, to be fair. But, and that, by the way, was Mike Hitchcock, who's hilarious.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Genius talent.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then one time backstage at the Growlings, he came and he said, I had a dream about you last night. I said, you did? He said, yeah, you threw acid in my face.
He's really funny, that guy.
Like, from the thing? Is that because of the... He's like, that was my dream.
Well, speaking of dreams, we've taken up way too much of your time, Lisa Kudrow.
Yes,
you are a dream.
Yeah.
You are a dream. Thank you for coming on, honey.
Lisa,
we love you.
This was so fun. Thanks, guys.
I really enjoyed talking to you.
Please say hi to Michelle.
I will.
Yes.
Yeah. Ask him if he needs new wedges.
Oh.
What's a wedge? Oh,
it's a golf club.
It's a golf club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw Michelle twice last week.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
She's got a silky swing.
That's great. I love golf stories.
No, that's another podcast. Listener, that's sarcasm.
All right, Lisa, we love you. I'm sure we'll see you soon.
Yeah,
love
I
you.
Hope so.
I hope yeah. So great to see you. You're the best.
You guys are.
I love you. Thank you for doing this.
Bye.
Do I log off? Do I get
it? Yeah, just slam it or do whatever you want.
Okay.
Yeah, you can just.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. The great.
I think the great Lisa Kudrow. You think anybody ever calls her LK?
Why not?
I would call her LK. That's a good...
We call you JB, but nobody says WA because that's too much work.
No, it's not fun. Yeah.
It's tough. You know?
SH, not
just
fun. JB is kind of like that shitty...
Like a butler.
Like you're some kind of a... Yeah, I don't know where I got that from, but maybe I should... But LK is good to say, right?
Okay.
You should workshop it, man.
Yeah. Well, we're doing that now, right?
Just
listeners,
run
go ahead and call
there.
In while we're still on. And
but is give it, us your... But isn't she good? You know, Jay, you said a while ago about Larry David. You were like, boy, you did Seinfeld, then you did Curb Your Enthusiasm. You just did really two things that were, I mean, you did other things, of course, yeah. but two shows that were just hit huge. And she did many shows that hit, like, yeah. and movies and stuff. And because she takes the time to create characters and like specificity of all of that stuff. And she, to me, she's always taken the time and the energy to make something great or make sure it can be great.
Yeah. yeah. And the whole the people I talk to, people I hear from, or just she's universally thought of as just like high taste.
Yes.
Really smart comedy. Yeah. yeah. Which comes from being a good actor, I think, you know. I mean, she's you know, she says that she's not that interested in drama, or at least she said in the beginning she wasn't interested in drama class. Mm-hmm. I'll bet if she took a dramatic role, which
she'd be great.
She'd probably done. And
yeah, she has done, yeah.
But that
opposite of
she'd make you cry real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's awesome. And, yeah. and just such a talent. Yeah, and she's so – it's funny that – Read that she plays that character Phoebe on Friends, who's sort of kind of out there and whatever, and yet Lisa's so razor sharp, like so yeah. smart.
I know, razor sharp, and she got her beginnings, you know, being smart by going to Vassar, studying that one science.
And working in a doctor's office.
Biology!
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Bye.
Bye.
Smart.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Bennett Barbaco, Michael Grant Terry, and Rob Armjarf.
Smartless.